Joe, the Henderson Fine Arts Center is showing an exhibition, The 100 Languages of Children, The Wonder of Learning. And there's a conference May 16th through the 18th about learning philosophy based on a small town in Italy, Reggio Emilia. And I'd like you to help me understand what this is all about.
The 100 Languages of Children is an exhibition that actually has been all across the world. It shows children in Reggio Emilia, Italy, involved in what's called the Reggio approach. And the Reggio approach utilizes the project approach, which is based on learning emerging from the interest of the children. The children are seen as very capable. They're seen as kind of co-researchers with the teacher in relationship to questions and things that occur in their world and their environment that they want to know more about. The programs, as they're administered in Italy, are part of the city itself, and they're actually run by the city government. And the families and the neighborhoods are a big part of what happens in the infant toddler centers and the preschool centers that use the Reggio approach. In fact, one of the centers is actually located beside a park in the community, and the children use the park as their playground. They use it as their nature learning center. It's just a part of their environment.
Give me a for instance of what a Reggio Emilia classroom might consist of compared to a traditional classroom.
A Reggio classroom would use more natural materials for the most part, and it might look a little bit even minimalist compared to some of our infant toddler centers or preschool centers here in the United States. But there's a lot of emphasis on real things that come from nature, using materials that are part of that child's world and part of that child's environment. If I can give you an example, I was in a preschool classroom actually here in Kentucky last week. The teacher there has completed a Reggio class that Murray State has offered this semester. The class was taught by Dr. Lila Gandini, who is from Italy. And the teacher there was outside with the children, and the children discovered that over the weekend a bird had built a nest in the playhouse that's in their playground center. And they were asking questions about what did the bird use to build the nest, and why did she put it in the playhouse rather than all the other different pieces of equipment that were outside. And as they looked around, they noticed that the playhouse was the only place that was really safe and secure, and over the weekend they'd had a rainstorm, so they thought the bird had built it there to protect the nest. And that's just an example of letting children see what's part of their real world and ask very real questions about that, and as scientists research with the teacher the answers to the questions that they have.
I read that the title, The 100 Languages of Children, relates to the fact that in many situations, 99 of those languages are not involved in traditional schooling.
The 100 Languages of Children really refers to all the many different ways that children can show, can create what they've learned. And there are many ways to do that. They may do it through dance. They might do it through music. They might do it through art. They might use a computer-generated program to demonstrate their knowledge. They may do writings. There are just many, many different types of medium that children might use to show their learning. And one of the things that you see at the 100 Languages of Children exhibit is a variety of different types of projects that have been carried out by the children, infant, toddler, or preschool-age children, and the many different ways that children have shown what they've learned, all the way from creating their own songs, original songs and dance, to a sound demonstration as they walked upstairs and they figured out that different types of shoes made different types of sounds and what did this mean and that type of thing.
How does teacher education change to get new teachers ready to be in this sort of setting?
Well, it's a really good philosophy in terms of early childhood, which is what I am. It fits very nicely with what we've already been talking about in terms of developmentally appropriate practices and using the project approach, which is based on interests that the children have as the way that we adapt our curriculum. It's a little bit more of a stretch when you think about things like state standards and high-stakes testing. But what we do know is that given an opportunity, children can show you amazing skills and can do things that many teachers would have never expected that they were able to do if they have the appropriate tools and the teacher is a good facilitator and a guide and a kind of a co-researcher with them. The other thing that I think is exciting is I see this in classrooms where children get to make some choices about what they want to learn, is they're much more engaged. And if they're more engaged, their behavior is more appropriate. In talking with some of the instructors from Italy, when you talk to them about children who have behavior problems, they say, we don't have those. They have been able to naturally integrate children with special rights, which is the word they use for children with disabilities, into the infant toddler program and the preschool program through a very respectful way and have seen amazing results.
How common is it for the Reggio Emilia approach to be used in classrooms in Western Kentucky for little kids?
There are many Audubon Head Start classrooms that use what they call a Reggio-inspired classrooms, which is meaning that they're learning and they're beginning to implement the approach. And we had 9 teachers from graduate students from Murray State who took the class that Dr. Gandini taught this semester who have begun to start doing some of this in their classroom as well. So we're seeing an interest in it. There are at least 3 or 4 private preschools and child care centers in this area that are also trying to be Reggio-inspired, and I understand they're doing well.
How pervasive is this philosophy nationally?
There are Reggio programs in all countries and across the United States. It's still in pockets, you know, and a lot of the classrooms in the United States are not, probably most of them are in private programs. There are some in the public schools, but a lot of them are in private programs where they have a little bit more leeway, you know, about what they're able to do in terms of requirements.
Do you see the Reggio Emilia philosophy getting traction from the standard makers?
Well, while the exhibit's here, everybody who's been involved with that has tried to make sure that those policymakers and university faculty and public school people have an opportunity to learn about it. One of the previous professional developments that was held as part of the exhibit focused on using this in the primary schools. So that was an effort to have primary teachers and administrators learn more about it. It's still not prevalent, if that's what you're asking, in this area, but those places where it's being used, they're seeing some amazing kinds of results. They've been doing this in Audubon Head Start for a few years, and when they look at a classroom that's Reggio-inspired, and they look at a classroom, another classroom that they have that's not, and they look at the children's developmental progress, they've been able to see that the children in the Reggio programs are really making more rapid developmental gains. So that's good information to know for anybody who's trying to make a decision about trying something different.
You know, I failed to follow up and ask you, what are the private programs around here that you said that there were a few of?
They're trying to do some Reggio things in iKids, which is a child care center in Draffenville. And I'm afraid I won't get them all, so I'm kind of scared to do this. But the POSH preschool program in Paducah area is really trying to be Reggio-inspired. And then, as I said, the Audubon Head Start and Early Head Start programs that are in many parts of Western Kentucky, they've really been at the forefront in pushing this.